This meeting is being recorded.
Okay.
Alright, hello chess players. I am in Omaha, Nebraska today, and this is a wonderful area to stop and play chess. I have found all the people to be incredibly friendly. I found the host of every chess club to be hospitable and helpful. It's a place with a good culture. It's a place with strong chess players, frequent tournament activity, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city to be in and to play chess. So here with me today, I have one of the organizers of a local club. His name is Rich Hudlin, and I had a unique experience within his chess club held at Cafe International. So Rich, it is an honor to have you with me here today, and I am excited to do the interview with you. So let me start with what my experience was like, Rich, when I walked into your club for the first time. You meet on Saturdays at what time?
4 p.m. Local time. The place is usually open till 8 p.m. Sometimes they close like maybe 7:30 if there's not a lot of business. But sometimes they actually stay open a little later just for us.
All
And
right,
when
excellent.
we were in here watching the Super Bowl, they actually let us stay until the end of the Super Bowl.
Excellent. That would be a travesty to miss the fourth quarter. But no, I had a wonderful experience. I met up with a friend that I met at another chess club, Camelot Chess Club, Scott. Do you know Scott's last name off the top of my head, off the top of your head?
Oh, Scott, look, he's played in my chess tournaments, and actually, Scott tutors at least five of the youth chess players here. Could be more, but there's five that I know of.
Excellent. Well, I met up early with Scott to give him
And
a lesson to
he
teach how
actually.
to teach.
Yes, and actually, one of the young people he tutors, Clover, my next chess tournament is actually named after her.
Huh. Well, that's really exciting, Rich. I wasn't planning on starting here, but tell me about Clover.
Oh, Clover, she's a young lady. Her and her brother, I think his name is Ryan. And they're both chess players. They're both pretty good. And in fact, I believe chess.com did an article about them one day, or at least they were had a paragraph or two about her. And so my last chess tournament, I had named after the young lady in Nigeria, Evie Ayori Itoh. And so I decided I was going to name it after someone local. And Clover's pretty good. And so I picked her, and it also helped. My godparents are from China, and so is Clover.
Man, Rich, every sentence I have with you is an impressive story about how you've impacted the chess community. And let me just say this out there for the audience and other chess organizers. If you can do something like that, if you can attach a young student's name to a tournament, if you can get them recognition and promotion, that's something that's gone a long way in my life. But it rallies the community together and it is so good for the kid. So that's an
Oh,
incredible story. A billion different directions we could go with the interview. But let me start. I had a really good time at the club, a different environment. I had a lot of strangers come up and talk. I think Scott put it best. It's a place where the locals are, they're more friendly and spontaneous. So you can expect conversations with someone that's came from outside the United States.
Well, yes. So one of the advantages to doing it in a restaurant is one of the chess players you played against, Alir. Yeah, Alir from South Sudan. He just happened to walk in to eat something one day and saw us playing, and he just came over and started playing. So
And
that's one of the advantages to being in public.
for the audience, I'm estimating that Alir is a high A-class player, 1900, to under 2100. So an elite player. We played four games. I split two out of two. And just a really good guy from the short conversation I had. But
Yes, the reason why Alir doesn't have a high rating is because the tournaments that he played in South Sudan, I don't believe were rated. And after he won my tournament, I gave him the $300, and then he had some money. He did get registered. He went and played in the tournament because it was just one tournament, FIDE-rated tournament. He didn't get a high rating. And people explained to me that he has to play in several tournaments before his rating can actually come up to where he really is.
Right. And it often takes maybe 25 tournaments, to be honest, for a player's strength to actually reflect where the rating is. But so, yeah, wow. What's so impressive that I find about you, Rich, is you have a well-documented website about everything that you're doing. As far as for Chess Philanthropist goes, you're on the top of my list. And yeah, you've organized a lot of local tournaments, and from my understanding, Rich, right? You're not a super strong player yourself. How would you describe
No.
your chess strength?
The last time I really played against other good players, that was in high school, in Mendel Catholic High School in Chicago. This was the 1970s. I'm old. I'm 63. And after I left Mendel, they didn't win a championship until, I believe, 10 years after I wasn't there anymore. And, of course, they closed the school down at some point in time, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Mendel, at one point in time, was rated one of the top 100 high schools in the nation. So they closed down Mendel and keep the bad high schools open in Chicago. I guess that makes some kind of sense to somebody.
Well, but, as a teacher,
I can
tell you,
you know,
it's
I
really
don't play anymore. Once my mom passed and she left me some money, I just took 20,000 of it and I just started putting it into the chess tournaments. And while my two chess sponsors, they both passed away in 2014, but before that, I did get to have a chess tournament in 2014, and there was a $1,000 first place prize. And Joe Knapp won that prize.
Yeah.
I believe either that year or the year after, he was the state champion here in Nebraska.
Yeah, excellent, Rich. The prize fund gets the
so,
players out
you know,
there.
So I've been putting money in the chess tournaments, and as you can see on my website, when people win, I put their name in the paper. Sometimes I put the picture in the paper if I can afford it. And for the one that the 2014 tournament with the big prizes, I actually got a spot on the local ABC affiliate, KETV. They did a short little 36-second piece about the chess tournament, so it was on TV.
Yeah, you do an excellent job of promoting the people that come into your club. I'm certainly grateful that you promoted me.
And if you look at my last chess tournament, you can see I always thank the people who work with me. Center Trophy, that's where I get like the T-shirts, all the custom stuff. And so when I put the announcement of the winners in the paper, I thank them.
Yeah. Yeah, you, in my mind, are the model host for a chess club. I host a chess club in Arlington, Texas. And I started doing
that. Oh, another thing I would mention, you probably didn't realize this, but the weekend that you're here, it's Berkshire Hathaway weekend. So you probably met some rich people and you didn't even know it.
That was brought to my attention, and I find it humorous that the premier stock company on the market, right, originated in Nebraska.
Yes.
But Funny connections, the more you know. It's a beautiful state, and the more I learn, the more I experience Nebraska, the more I like it. So tell me about your international operations. You send a lot of chess books, chess material. You make sure that international chess players get the chance that they need to thrive at the game of chess.
Well, yeah. So one of the things I did, my last chess tournament, I named after Ivie Uriito. She's a 9-year-old chess prodigy in Nigeria. And so recently, she was reading my website. She saw the custom chess set I put together for Clover Hengen here in Omaha. And so now I've sent her a custom chess set. Also, the Divine Chess Academy in Uganda, they're in Kampala, Uganda. They started out as an orphanage and then they started teaching chess too. So I've been sending them some books. And recently they said they were kind of short on some chess boards. So I'm going to be sending them some custom chess boards pretty soon.
Excellent. And how did you find, I believe the organization that you're working with is called Divine Chess, right?
Yeah, it's called the Divine Chess Academy. It's in Kampala, Uganda.
Okay. And how did you find this particular organization and how did you find your particular prodigy?
Cool. Well, yeah, Ivie Uriito, I was just looking online, because, I realized that chess gets played in other countries besides this one. And so I was just looking around online and I found her because she had recently, at that time, got involved in an organization called Gift of Chess. And what Gift of Chess does, they give away tens of thousands of chess sets in Africa, different countries in Africa, and other places. And what happened for her, when she got involved, the local Nigerian TV did an interview of her. Somebody saw that interview, and JP Morgan decided to get involved with Gift of Chess. They've got a
Wow.
lot of money.
Yes.
So that helped out everyone altogether. And recently, her friend with Gift of Chess, Tunde, set the record at 58 hours in New York City Central Park. 58 hours for playing a chess marathon. So hopefully that will help people become aware of Gift of Chess also.
Excellent. And yeah, that's so exciting, Rich. You take a young kid like that, that's a prodigy, potentially has the potential to rise to the top of her country. Or that could even be her ticket out into a wealthier nation. But yeah,
And
the sky's the
so,
limit when it comes to that 9-year-old, and it's they don't get there unless they have people invest in them.
exactly. And if you look at her website, it's called chesswithivy.com. You can look on my website. It's I sent her the custom boards. It's got that on there. And
Okay.
yeah, looking at her website, she does thank quite a list of people. I think it's like eight different people and a couple organizations. She thanks everybody that helped her along the way.
Okay. And Rich, if you would like to connect me to her, I have a rough idea. I don't want to say on the stream because I'm not exactly sure where her rating is. But if I could be of service, I would love to give her a Zoom lesson. I would love to work
Oh,
with
I'm
her
sorry, the
for.
screen's kind of freezing here.
Okay, yeah. I was just saying I would like to volunteer a couple hours of my time to train her. If
Okay, so you
she's at the
guys
rating
are, I
level that
believe
I
it.
think.
Yeah, so you guys are already connected. I got you connected on
Yeah.
chess.com, correct? Okay,
Correct.
so I'll send her a little message and let her know you want to help train her too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And let me ask you this, Rich, because I think we have the same values, we have the same mission. We're going about it at very different ways. But what I'm experiencing in life is my phone is blowing up every single day with nothing but opportunities. And I'm so thankful to have all those opportunities, but it's a little overwhelming and I'm having to prioritize too. Which opportunity am I going to take? Which students am I going to work with? What chess organization am I going to stop by, right? What tournament am I going to play in? So
Oh
what
yeah,
are
I can understand that. I've had people in my
Right. So what's some wisdom you can share for me and maybe other chess
Well, I could
players?
say this. I've had people in my family that are very successful. You probably heard of the Hutland brothers. They did the original House Party movie, the Boomerang movie, Great White Hype, etc. And as far as the people I grew up with, my big brother was very successful. I put something on my website about him. He was a lawyer for a long time, but in fact, he's with the Department of Justice. But during the 30 years he was practicing law, he helped recruit students for Creighton Law School. And my big brother took this to the point where 4 days before he passed away, he recruited the last student for Creighton Law School. So as you can imagine, after he passed, they had a memorial for him on the Creighton campus, and 300 people from all over the country showed up for him. So sometimes, you're successful, people appreciate it. And like I say, you do have to prioritize things. Him and other members of my family would give money for scholarships. And of course, it has to be for the most serious people. It has to be for the most serious people. So that's a part of things. The most serious people like EVA or Ito, that really want to do something, they have to be the priority. People who are kind of thinking about it, maybe they want to. Well, what can you do? You only have so much time.
Right. Yeah, that's a piece of wisdom that I needed to hear. So let me ask you this. How do you filter for who's serious and who's not?
Well, the first thing I look at, well, for instance, I talked about the fact that there's lawyers in my family. Well, if you got a court case at 4 o'clock, they expect you to be there between 3 and 3:30 and be prepared. So
Right.
that's one thing you have to look at. Do people show up on time when they say they're going to be somewhere? So that's
Right.
the first thing you want to look at. Are they actually taking it seriously? Do they communicate with you? If they want to do a particular thing with you, are they communicating you and letting you know this is what they want to do? In exact terms is possible. Communication becomes important. People won't communicate with you. Well, how are you supposed to know what they want to do or if they're serious or not? So those are the two things I would say, no matter what you're involved in, it really doesn't matter what it is, but successful people are going to show up places on time and they're going to communicate with you. In fact, Woody Allen had a really good quote years ago. I think he said 95% of success is just showing up.
I like that one, and those are values that I try my best to adhere to. Of course, I drop the ball today, and I do appreciate your patience starting a little bit later. But yeah, so Ivy ran into an issue, right, when you mailed her $300 worth of chess books, and that was customs charge a 25% fee in Nigeria.
No, actually, when I send things into Nigeria, apparently there isn't a problem. But when I sent the chess books to Uganda, then it
Ah.
was. And that's why I didn't know, because I've sent things before, but that was the first time I sent them to Uganda. And the first time I sent them, they just paid the fee and didn't say anything. So I still didn't know. But then I sent these books worth a lot more money. And then that's when it became an issue. And this next shipment I want to send all together is probably going to be $300. So what I intend on doing, since they're going to charge them $75 just to receive it, I'm going to Western Union them at least $100 so that they've got money just to do that. You know, I didn't understand that that was a problem, but then when they mentioned it, I went online and read about it, and I guess it's something called custom duties, and some countries do charge that. I just was not aware of that.
So, yeah, in this line of work, I'm sure you get to know all the interesting details of every country, and I'm a big geography nerd. I taught ninth grade world geography as a teacher, and I've always just stared at a map and wondered about these places, but it's cool that you get the inside scoop by getting, if you can't go there, the next best thing is knowing people from there and just getting to play Alir and getting to ask him all the questions about his country, just some things that came up and I wondered. To hear his own words, how he described it, it's,
yes,
it's cool to get that
and
insight.
For people who are interested, you can go on YouTube. There are travel vloggers. They go everywhere.
Absolutely. I make sure to follow with you.
Oh, definitely.
All right. So, yeah, overall, just had a great experience in your chess club. You're really a person that tries to take care of everyone that walks in your door. You provided water for us. You bought fries for all of us. Only chess club that I've been to that has provided food for its members, and that's it's hard for me to see how your club wouldn't become hyper successful and how what you're doing wouldn't have a gigantic impact. So what would you like to say to some of the other organizers, maybe someone thinking about stepping up in the chess community or someone that has stepped up?
What I try to impress, especially on the young people, is that I showed you the saying on my chess website. Chess is the blood sport of the mind. It is something that you can play recreationally. That is true. But if you want to compete, it's a serious sport. But the good news is no one ever gets hurt playing chess. You don't break your wrist. You don't break your knee or your ankles. And when people lose, they shake your hand and walk away. There's no bench clearing brawls or anything like that. So also, even though you don't get to make NFL quarterback money in chess, the top chess players now can make seven figures worth of money. So if you are good at chess, you can do this for a living at this time.
Right. My high school baseball coach taught me something very wise, and he said, if you truly love baseball, never give up on it. If you can't cut it as a player, you can cut it as a manager, as a scout, as a guy that crunches the numbers, as an announcer. There are a billion different ways that you can make a living through the field of baseball. And it's the same with chess. Now, my corner of the chess world, I truly believe I can make the biggest impact as a coach. That's the ability I have to help carry someone uphill and ride out this hard battle to improve and get better and face the big game, give it all you have, maybe come up just this short and get you ready for the next match. But yeah, if you truly love chess, find a way to make money through it.
Or you can just be like me, just be involved, even though I don't play anymore. I run this and I spend some money sending some things, custom boards, stuff like that, and buying books. And one of the things I actually did, speaking of coaches like you, when I first met Evie Orieto, They had a website called iChess.net. And I can't remember, it was like $200 or $300. You get 1 year's worth of lessons, and you get to talk to one of the top GMs, etc. I purchased that for her, and wouldn't you know it, 4 months after I spent the money, they got taken over by chess.com.
I hate to hear that. I'm familiar with iChess.net. I've been
I
very
didn't get a
fond of their
partial refund
products.
either.
Yeah, that's that's a shame, Rich. I don't have the highest impression of chess.com. Now, it's fun. There's a lot of great learning tools, but as far as ethics go, I don't have a high impression.
Agreed.
All right, Rich. Is there anything that I can do to help out your club? Is there anything that your club needs?
Well, if anybody wants to help, I have Venmo and I have a Zelle. Of course, I appreciate any help. At this time, I'm 63. I'm semi-retired. I do get my retirement money, but I still work for Nebraska Medicine. So, and there's a lovely lady I work for. If you look on my website, I was donating a lot of canned seafood to this food pantry at the elementary school. I do not own a car, but my boss lady, she took it there for me. She helped me out. Beth Peterson is a really nice person.
Yeah, that's incredible, Rich. And
All righty.
I, all right. So, what is your Venmo for anyone that might want to help out either Ivy or you specifically, or any of your specific operations? What's your Venmo?
Oh yeah, my website, it's rcto.us, and as far as my Venmo and Zelle, if you go under my contact page, it's all there.
All right, excellent. Well, Rich, it's been an absolute honor to have you on. I can't wait to hear more about your operations and the impact that you make. Go ahead and hang out for a little bit, and I'll talk to you after I stop recording.
Okay.